This is Word of Mouth from NHPR.
Came in for school, graduated to the highlight. Ball players, rap stars, addicted to the limelight. Empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
For most teenagers, the track to high school is a straight progression from 8th to 9th grade. For others, maybe acing a private school entrance exam. For students entering Brooklyn's International High School at Prospect Heights, incoming students must have lived in the U.S. for fewer than 4 years. And while they do have to take an English assessment test, it is failing that test that secures admission. Brooke Hauser is an investigative journalist who spent a year at the International High School. The remarkable stories she gathered there are the subject of her new book, The New Kids, Big Dreams and Brave Journeys at a High School for Immigrant Teens. It's a timely book with Republican candidates taking positions on public education for children of immigrants and passage of the DREAM Act in question. So, Brooke, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, first, a little background on INPS. Where do students come from?
Well, INPS, International's Network for Public Schools, is the network that oversees the International High School at Prospect Heights, which is the book, the school featured in the book. And kids come from more than 45 different countries and speak more than 28 different languages at the school that I reported at. It's kind of like having the entire world under one roof. They come from West Africa, Tibet, all over South America and Mexico, Nepal, everywhere you can think of, basically, there's a student representing that country.
So INPS itself, sorry, I mixed up the acronyms, is run by a nonprofit. It's not a public school.
INPS is the nonprofit, the International's Network for Public School, which oversees the International High School at Prospect Heights, which is a public school.
There's
a lot of names. It gets a little bit confusing, but the larger network oversees more than a dozen of these international high schools now. Most of them are in New York. A couple are opening in or have opened in California. And then the network is now talking to other places on the Southeast and in the Midwest about either opening or supporting similar international high schools.
Well, then let's get away from the acronyms and into
sure.
the stories. Well, you know, some of these kids, they wanted to be known. Others, as the principal says, will not be known. And Muhammad Ba is one of them. He is a son of a diamond miner from Sierra Leone who was still a child during that nation's very brutal war. Tell us a little bit about him.
Sure. Muhammad is one of the main students featured in the book, and he grew up in a very poor and rural village in Sierra Leone. He was raised in a mud brick hut with no electricity or running water. And basically, when he was around middle school age, he won a contest that was connected to a sponsored trip to Connecticut. It was hosted by basically a church in Connecticut. They had ties to Sierra Leone, and they wanted to bring over a student from that country. And they brought over Muhammad. And I don't want to give away what happens in the book, but let's just say he lived with this family in Connecticut and went to church, despite being a Muslim, for several weeks. And then if you read further in the book, you find out how he ended up in New York City. And he's one of the kids who is undocumented, and you know, he was one of more than 20 children that his father had with several different wives.
But he said he was the favorite.
And he said he was the favorite, yeah.
Well, there's a lot of grandiosity in this kid in some way. He has very, very high hopes, but also extreme vulnerability. And I'm wondering how a teacher or a school begins to deal with the kind of varied pasts of these kids.
Well, you pointed out the key word, which is varied, and I think that the approach is varied, too, and that each kid really necessitates a different approach in some ways. I mean, there are several social workers who work at the school closely with the students who need the most attention, but every single kid at the school has an advisor, which is a teacher or other staff member who looks after the welfare of a group of students, not just their academic well-being, but their emotional well-being, because learning a language is a small fraction of what these kids have to learn upon getting to America. They're coming from, in many cases, rural villages, and they have to learn how to use the subway. They have to learn how to navigate a big, vibrant city like New York City.
Mm.
And then some of the kids are dealing with huge cultural pressures during the year, you know, not just SAT prep and stuff like that. But I knew several kids who had gotten married or were about to get married, who had had children deliberately, not as a mistake, but, you know, some of the girls from West Africa. This is a norm coming from some of those cultures. You know, to have a baby at 16 is not an unusual thing. Mm-hmm. So there were all sorts of challenges that came along with the students, depending on where they came from and when they got here.
You did spend a year there with them, hearing those stories, sometimes very intimate conversations. How did you build that level of access and trust at the school?
Well, I had written an article for the New York Times called This Strange Thing Called Prom, which was about the kids putting on their first ever prom, which was difficult for them because a lot of the kids had no idea what prom was, and they kind of studied what an American prom is the same way that I would have studied for a chemistry exam by renting movies like Mean Girls and saying, okay, this is what a prom king is, this is what a prom queen is, I get it. So that article was very well received by the school. It was just a fun piece. I loved reporting it. I loved the kids in the school. And I think that helped me earn the trust of the founding principal. As far as gaining the students' trust, I really just tried to be as transparent as possible. First of all, I had all of their parents sign release forms in, you know, I think 9 different languages. Students could sign themselves if they were of age. And I always had a reporter's notebook or a tape recorder. And to me, that was kind of like, you know, almost if you're a police wearing a badge or a uniform, it says, this is what I am. I am a reporter. You know, if you want to tell me your story, then come tell me. But I, it was important to me that I never felt like I was tricking anyone. And I felt that the students who would approach me and want to tell me their story would understand what it was going to be used for, a book. And so I think that transparency really helped.
Well, we learn all sorts of stories. There's Nawang, a Tibetan boy who spent the first leg of his journey to the U.S. over the mountains into India in a suitcase. Mm-hmm. We meet Yasmin, who is being pressured, as you alluded to earlier, to marry. It is a really varied and interesting account of stories based on these personal narratives in Brooklyn, this extremely diverse and integrated borough. So why is this story meaningful outside of Brooklyn, Brooke?
Well, you know, English language learners are all over the country, and New York is certainly a place that has had to grapple with these issues for a long time, but we've been seeing new immigrants and recently arrived refugees. They don't just go to New York City anymore. It's not just about Ellis Island. You know, it's small communities across the country are dealing with influxes of newcomers to the United States. You know, take a place like Vermont, you know, for instance. There are a lot of Somalis there.
And Manchester, New Hampshire, actually.
Manchester, New Hampshire, and Lewiston, Maine. So, you know, this is an issue that the whole country really has to think about, is how to educate our newest Americans.
Well, Brooke, we imagine that you will be hearing more from you, and thank you so much for sharing that with us today.
Thank you so much for your time. Take care.
Brooke Hauser, author of The New Kids, Big Dreams and Brave Journeys at a High School for Immigrant Teens. You can find links to some of the excellent reviews for the book, as well as more about the International High School at Prospect Heights. That's at wordofmouthradio.org. Coming up, what do you think as international immigrants are changing the face of New Hampshire's high school population? Would a special school help them integrate successfully or just keep them more divided? Let us know at wordofmouthradio.org or on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio. Coming up, Prep School of Rock, a band of academics holds tight to the rock and roll that still inspires them. We're going to turn it up to 11 when Word of Mouth returns after a short break. This is NHPR.